For our scripture this evening, I'd invite you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the second letter of Paul to the church at Corinth. There may have been, well, there almost certainly were other letters of Paul to Corinth, maybe even two additional letters to the ones that we have in our scripture, our Bible. This is the second letter that we have that was written to the church at Corinth. This evening, we're going to see from this passage what I think is true comfort. There were a lot of problems in the church at Corinth. You can see that very clearly if you take the time to read through 1 Corinthians. Problems in the church mean hurting people. And then, of course, hurting people point out the need for help and comfort. It shouldn't surprise us, then, that in 2 Corinthians, there is quite a bit said about help for hurting people. In this passage this evening, Paul talks about comfort. Comfort for hurting people. Is there anybody here this evening that hasn't needed comfort at some time in your life? I don't see any hands. That includes me. We need comfort. And I think Paul points out four things about comfort from these few verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. First of all, notice as I read these verses, the source of comfort. God, of course. Secondly, when comfort is given. It's given when it's needed. Why comfort is given? Paul has something to say about that also. And then finally, our response to comfort. What do we do when God has comforted us? Okay, 2 Corinthians 1, reading just verses 3 through 7. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. May God add his blessing on the reading of his word and our consideration of it this evening. Shall we pray for that blessing? Gracious Father, we come as dependent people. We come as needy people. We come as hurting people. Some of our hurts are much more serious than some others experience. But all of us, at some time or another, have, are experiencing, or will be hurting and in need of comfort. And so, Father, teach us. Send your Holy Spirit to open our ears, to enable us to sense our need, and even, Father, to sense the need of others around us. Give us understanding of the depth of some of these issues as we hear your word this evening. Bless him who speaks to us, and each of us as we listen. We're dependent upon you. And so, even comfort us in listening to this message this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When people hurt, they usually want to be helped. However, most of us, I think, have our own ideas about how that help should come. When people need comfort, they often try to find it in less than totally satisfying ways. Some find comfort in noticing that others are just as bad off, maybe worse off than they are. It's the mindset of misery loves company. Things are sure to get better, they say. Suffering is inevitable. Suffering is part of life. It's best to just ignore the pain and just forget about it. There's no help available anyway, so just grin and bear it. Some people cover up pain with excitement and pleasures. They keep busy at something. Others attempt to block out their pain, their hurting, with alcohol or drugs. Still others try to find relief by always talking and complaining about problems. Possibly they think that if they can make everyone around them miserable also, then they will feel a little bit better. Now, maybe not all of these approaches are totally wrong, but in themselves, they certainly are not enough. Paul, I think, directs us to the best and really the only true source of true comfort. Look at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Our Father is a Father of compassion. There are many people in our world today, maybe some of you, never have experienced the compassion of a Father. But the Father Paul is talking about here is the Father of all compassion, the Father of all comfort. He's the God of mercy. The clearest way we see this is by looking to Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us that the God of all comfort is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Really, Jesus is the focal point, I think, of our comfort from God. Notice verse 5. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Christ is the center of Paul's message. Any comfort that we get from God must somehow be connected to the sufferings of Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 9 through 18, and then in chapter 4, verses 14, over into chapter 5, verse 10 of Hebrews, we are told that Jesus became our great high priest. He became our sympathizer as a result of his sufferings for us. He knows what we're going through, because he's been through it all himself, except for sin. And that exception, except for sin, that really makes his suffering even worse, because he didn't deserve any of it. You and I deserve to suffer. Many times it comes as a result of our own bad decisions, our own sinfulness, our rebellion against God, maybe rebellion against parents, rebellion against authorities, and we suffer because of those things. Jesus intercedes for us. He sees to it that the Father gives us comfort. When is comfort given? It's coming when we need it. It's there. It's present. Notice verse 4. He's talking about the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. God comforts us in all our troubles. In the world, when things are going well, we have all kinds of friends, people around us. But when trouble comes, very often, those friends scatter. They're not there anymore. They are there when we least need them, but when we're really hurting, so often, they are gone, or their comfort is not what we really need. Their words don't meet our need. In contrast to the world, the God of all comfort is there when we need Him. Many times in the book of Isaiah, we are reminded of God's comfort. Listen again to our call to worship this evening from Isaiah 49:13. Shout for joy, O heavens! Rejoice, O earth! Burst into song, O mountains! For the Lord comforts His people and will have compassion on His afflicted ones. In Isaiah 51, verses 12 and following, we are encouraged not to fear what man can do to us because God comforts us. Then in chapter 66, verse 13 of Isaiah, we're given the picture of a loving mother comforting her whimpering child and told that God comforts His people in the same way. A similar picture is given earlier in the book of Isaiah in chapter 49, verse 15. Later, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10, Paul shares an experience that he had with pain, in which he was reminded that God's grace was sufficient to meet his needs, even in the midst of continuing pain and suffering. Many of you are familiar with that passage. Paul talks about some ailment that he had, a thorn in the flesh, he called it. It appears from several Bible passages and often from our personal experience that God comforts us in proportion to our troubles. When we don't have many troubles, then we don't experience much comfort. But when things really get tough, God is there with more comfort. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, we are told that God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And the same thing holds for when we are hurting. When we need comfort, it's there, sufficient to meet our needs. Jesus also assured His disciples in Matthew 10, verses 16 to 20, that when they got into difficult situations before governors and kings, that they would be given words to speak because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in them. Notice also that the Holy Spirit is called by Jesus the Comforter. Whatever our needs are, God is there to meet the needs of His people. And so the question before us, am I a child of God? We need to think about that. The requirement is that He has to be our God and Father. The Lord will not always remove all of our troubles, but God will comfort us when we need it, with all of the comfort that we need. Why is comfort given? Of course, the most obvious reason why we would want God to comfort us, from our point of view, is because we are hurting. I'm one of your children, God. I'm hurting. That's not right. I need comfort. Certainly our loving Father in heaven takes that into account. He is, after all, a compassionate God. Another obvious reason why God comforts us is because it's part of His nature. He is the God of all comfort. The Holy Spirit of God is called the Comforter, as I just mentioned a minute ago. Comfort is part of God's being. It's who He is. However, the why of God's comfort to us that I want to emphasize this evening is repeated several times by Paul in these verses. Look at verse 4 again. The Father who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. God wants to use us as channels of comfort, channels of blessing to others around us who are hurting. How much more meaningful it is for us to be able to say to someone, you know, I've been through something similar to what you're experiencing. Not just the same, but something similar. And God has comforted me. I know something of the pain you feel. I know God's grace is sufficient for you. He can meet your need. I know you can make it with Christ's strength because He has helped me. We need to be witnesses of God's mercy, His power at work in our lives, His comfort that comes to us. How often hasn't it happened that after you've gone through some kind of struggle, you've met someone who is having the same or maybe a similar fight with pain or trouble? Be ready for God to use you in this way, to be a source of comfort for that hurting person. God prepared His own Son to minister to us by putting Him through all kinds of trials. So also the Lord can use the things we experience in our lives to help others around us. In order for this to happen, we must open ourselves up to receive the fullness of God's comfort. We dare not shut ourselves off from that healing, helping power of the Lord that comes to us primarily through His Word. We cannot close our ears to the life-changing power of God's Word and expect to be used by the Lord to comfort others, as Paul talks about it here in our text. Finally, I want to point out what Paul mentions in connection with our response to God's comfort. Look again at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord was a phrase used often by my friend Ed Smoggy, who was the director of Anchorage Rescue Mission in Alaska. I lived up there for 11 years. I had opportunity to meet with Ed every once in a while. Incidentally, if you ever listen to Unshackled, anybody familiar with Unshackled? Yeah, it's the radio drama production of Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. Maybe you've heard Ed Smoggy's testimony on Unshackled, because it was there. Maybe it's still there, I don't know. Anyway, one evening, I went to the mission and I met Ed. He was a mess. His face was all scratched. He had a black eye. His lips were all swollen. Ed had been attacked in the alley behind the mission. I said to him, Ed, how could you say praise the Lord in a situation like that? Ed said, praise the Lord! He only hit me twice! Now, unlike Ed, we can become so engulfed in our troubles that we forget about the comfort that we are receiving from the Lord, the gracious ways in which God keeps things from being worse than they are for us. We should expect God's comfort. We must receive God's comfort. Then we can praise the Lord for His comfort to us. Some people seem to be content to just sort of to wallow in their misery and troubles. It's almost all they talk about. As Christians, we may not do that. The Lord has given us better things to do with our time and energy. I had a personal lesson along those lines as I was preparing this very message. I had it all typed out in a blank sermon form that I use in preparation for my sermons. Before saving my work, I made an outline of the sermon on another blank form. Often in this process of making my sermon outlines, the cursor will get over into the text of the message and make some changes there that I don't want. And so when I had finished the outline and saved it, I returned to my sermon file, and since some inadvertent changes might have been made because of my cursor getting over there where it shouldn't be, I selected not to save the changes to the sermon file, not realizing that I was working with a blank form. When I clicked "Don't save the changes," I trashed several hours of work in preparing my sermon. Oh, I was angry. I almost wept because I didn't have that much time before I had to preach. And so I needed comfort. I called my son Joel and I asked him if he knew a way that I could recover my work. You know what his answer was? Dad, it will be a better sermon since you've written it twice. Praise the Lord for a better sermon. I don't know how much better it was. Don't know what the first one was, but I trust it was better. But praise the Lord. That's what we're created to do. Praise God. Even in the midst of disappointments, lost sermons, whatever they are. You know, that you think that's a small issue. Maybe it is. But anyway. Let me again refer to Isaiah 49:13. That was our call to worship. Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts His people and will have compassion on His afflicted ones. If the heavens and the earth and the mountains are to do these things, shout for joy, rejoice, burst into song, if those inanimate objects are to do those things in response to God's comfort to His people, how much more should we, His comforted people praise Him for His mercy to us. Paul mentions another response from us produced by the comfort of the Lord. Notice verse 6. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Certainly, no one enjoys trouble and suffering, but it does no one a lot of good to continually fight against such things out of a spirit of anger and bitterness and rebellious complaining. How much better it is for everyone, especially to the ones who are suffering, to patiently endure pain and experience the peace and comfort of the Lord. Paul says essentially the same thing back in Romans chapter 5. I'm reading the first 5 verses of Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. May God work in us in such a way that we can accept His blessing to us as they have been described for us through Paul's words and the other scripture that I've cited in this message. And may we do this even in the midst of trials. I want to conclude the message by reading the following verses in our text for this evening, verses 8 through 11 of 2 Corinthians 1. Paul writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for Your ability to comfort us, for the fact that You know us better than we know ourselves. You know our situations. You know our need. And we pray that You will look down upon us in mercy, that You will enable us by the power of Your Holy Spirit to experience Your comfort, Your blessings, and that we may be sensitized to the needs of people around us so that we can pass that comfort on to others. Alert us to opportunities to be the pipeline by which You send comfort to those around us who may be hurting. And may it all result in glory and honor to You, our gracious and merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.